pioneers of modern spiritualism, Mina Marjorie Crandon, 1888 to 1941. Mina Crandon, more commonly known as Marjorie, is perhaps the most controversial medium in the history of spiritualism. In her heyday in the 1920s, she spurred comments from some of the most noted spiritualists and parapsychologists. Dr. Joseph B. Ryan, father of modern-day parapsychology, once said, "I think the main value of the Marjorie craze was in the great stir. It made him bring together people from different parts of the world who saw the possible significance of such claims if verified." Heywood Carrington, one of this country's most noted pioneer psychic investigators, wrote, "As a result of more than 40 sittings with Marjorie, I have arrived at the definite conclusion that genuine supernormal phenomena frequently occur. Many of the observed manifestations might well have been produced fraudulently. However, there remains a number of instances when phenomena were produced and observed practically perfect control." The opinions surrounding the Marjorie mediumship were as divisive as the phenomena themselves. While the novelist Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was saying, "The phenomena are perhaps the best attested in the whole annals of psychic research," America's psychic investigator, Dr. Walter Franklin Prince, was saying, "Now, in my judgment, the Marjorie case will in time come to be the most considered, ingenious, persistent, and fantastic complex of fraud in the history of psychic research." A brief look at the Marjorie mediumship and see what the facts indicate. Mina Stinson was born in Canada in 1888 and moved to Boston at an early age. In 1918, after one unsuccessful marriage, she married Boston surgeon Dr. Leroy Goodard Crandon, a man whose family dated back to the Mayflower. They purchased the house at number 11 Lime Street on Beacon Hill and become well established in Boston society. The Crandons were the perfect Beacon Hill couple. Dr. Crandon was a prestigious instructor at Harvard Medical School, and Mina Crandon was witty and too attractive for her own good. In 1923, Dr. Crandon became seriously interested in spiritualism and psychic research. In May of that year, the Crandons, along with some friends, decided to sit for a table tilting seance. The table, apparently controlled by a spirit, indicated that Mina herself was a very powerful medium. Within a few months, the spirit communicator identified himself as Walter. Mina's brother, who had died in a train crash in 1911. Shortly thereafter, Walter was able to entrance Mina and speak directly through her. Then, having mastered the ability to produce a voice box, he began speaking via the direct voice process. Walter, characteristically, was not the most spiritually minded personality. He often used off-color language and refused to be stumped. During one seance, a sitter asked if his was the language of the fourth dimension. Walter promptly retorted, "No, I am talking in a language for you to understand." Walter felt that his mission was to help demonstrate through his sister the creative process of mind via telekinetic effects, rather than deliver inspirational messages or addresses. In this respect, he excelled. Despite the abundant production of phenomena, because of Dr. Crandon's position with Harvard and the close-minded attitude towards psychic matters, Attendance to the sittings with Mina Crandon was by invitation only. The first formal investigation of Mrs. Crandon's mediumship was conducted in 1923 by a committee from Harvard, arranged by Professor William McDougall, head of Harvard's Department of Psychology. The committee put Mrs. Crandon through intense observation and experimentation, hoping to verify either the validity or the fraudulence of the mediumship. After 5 months of observation, the committee decided that a majority of the telekinetic phenomena were fraudulently produced. They made no formal opinion on the trance utterness associated with the mediumship. At the same time the Harvard investigation was being conducted, the Scientific American magazine was offering a prize of $2,500 to anyone who could provide conclusive evidence of any paranormal, psychic phenomena and physical phenomena. The judging committee was comprised of Dr. Walter Prince, Edward Carrington and others. The official sittings began in January 1924 under Dr. Crandon's general supervision. The control conditions of the seance room were produced at just about every sitting. However, the committee wished to exert even more control over the proceedings to be absolutely sure there was no room for fraud. Despite the lack of full agreement between the committee and Dr. Crandon, J. Malcolm Bird began writing articles favouring the mediumship, and the newspapers were quick to pick up the stories. Headlines soon read, "Marjorie Boston Medium passes all psychic tests. Scientists find no trickery in a score of seances. Boston Medium baffles experts. Houdini, the magician, stumped." The great magician, Harry Houdini, was infuriated. The Scientific American was just about ready to hand over the money, and his reputation as an exposer of mediums was challenged. He promptly constructed a cabinet with steel bolts and padlocks and stuck Marjorie in it, defying her to produce any paranormal phenomena. The cabinet was hot, cramped and stuffy, but Marjorie agreed to sit in it for a seance. On this occasion, no telekinetic effects were produced, and Walter accused Houdini of planting something in the cabinet in order to frame Marjorie. A heated argument ensued, with Walter blurting out, "Houdini, get out of here and never come back. If you don't, I will." The seance abruptly ended, and after the cabinet was opened, a collapsed small ruler was discovered beneath the floor. Houdini accused Marjorie of using this ruler with her mouth in order to produce the telekinetic effects, which normally would have been produced. Harry Houdini had apparently exposed Marjorie as a fraud, or so it seemed from 1924 until 1959, when William Lindsay Gresham published a book which included the following account of that evening. Years later, when the self-liberator Houdini was dead, Jim Collins, Houdini's assistant, was asked about the mysterious ruler. Collins smiled wryly. "I chucked it in the box myself. The boss told me to do it. He wanted to fix her good." Was Jim Collins telling the truth here? Only he and Harry Houdini know for sure. To us, the most astounding aspect of the Marjorie mediumship was the diversity of phenomena which occurred. They ranged from breezes, raps, trance, and trance writing in several languages, to materializations, independent voice, apparitions, and the production of paraffin gloves and fingerprints. The final death blow to the Marjorie mediumship occurred when it was discovered that a psychic thumbprint, allegedly produced by Walter, was identical to the print of a Boston dentist Dr. Frederick Cowell. This renovation was brought about it when Dr. Cowell admitted giving Marjorie a bit of wax, in which his own print had been pressed. At the expense of sounding naive or gullible, we must contend there was a great deal about this medium and her activities which were buried with her. People frequently have a tendency to judge a person's whole life based on a few isolated facts. It is here where we feel we must be fair with Marjorie Crandon. She was under a great deal of pressure from many sources. Furthermore, she was investigated by researchers who quite honestly had many preconceived ideas about her and who knew next to nothing about physical mediumship. There is a psychology and very delicate balance of sensitivity which must be fully appreciated in order to investigate mediumship, exceptionally physical mediumship. So often people fail to recognise the acute sensitivity of a medium, let alone that of spirit workers. The success of mediumship depends upon many factors, most of which we simply do not understand. Here is where, in our opinion, many spiritualists and parapsychologists failed miserably with respect to the Marjorie mediumship. Over 50 years later, we cannot help but feel that the real implications between Marjorie Crandon's mediumship were severely neglected and clueless. Was Mina Marjorie Crandon a fraud? This only the reader can answer. Personally, we do not feel the question of fraudulence, or honestly, is even the cardinal issue here. After extensively researching this case, we have formulated our own opinions. We can only hope that you do not judge Marjorie or any medium solely on the basis of superficial facts. When dealing with mediumship, facts can be just as illusory as fantasy. Furthermore, truth is very often stranger than fiction. Let us not look only at the stated facts and opinions. Mina Stinson Crandon died in her sleep in November the 1st, 1941. She died without any recognition concerning her work as a medium. Mark W. Richardson, a friend of the Crandons, wrote of her, "Unhappy and disillusioned as to the value of her work, she was pursued first by Dr. Crandon's long illness and then by her own. But Marjorie was wrong. Her fame spread to all corners of the earth, and the facts astounding her nature brought out through her and Walter are bound to have an epoch-making influence upon the physical and spiritual thoughts of the future."